Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We are just, morning is about to break. Better get ready. Amen. Don't give up. It just, God has just begun to move again in our generation. Though he's done so much, yet he will do much more. I say, so let your eyes see a new vision. Amen. Brother, have you seen a new vision? Okay, yeah, the man has hope. He has seen a new vision. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a word that the Lord has been speaking to my heart. It has many dimensions, but I'm instructed to just take one part of it today. Because I am want to stray away. I want to give myself a charge so that you can hold me to it. Amen. So what I'm going to talk about now has two legs. To make sure I stick by it. If I'm going, raise your hand and say, brother, go back to your two legs. So this message has two legs. So the first leg is a foundation. And you shouldn't take time. If I'm wasting time, raise your hand and say, you say you will not take time. So that I can go to the main message. Amen. Now, this message is about walking in the Spirit. Being in Christ. Amen. It is what? Walking in the Spirit. And being in Christ. So unless God changes it. And when he changes, you will know. Make sure I talk about it. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, it is so very important that I'm really willing to crawl and in such a way that we can fully understand it. And it will not be out of place for us to entertain questions at the end to make sure that you and I understand what it means to walk in the Spirit. Paul says, if we live in the Spirit, or if we are in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. And the Spirit of God, through our brother Urias, has laid a fantastic foundation. So I'm not going to labor so much on that. The first leg has been broken into two parts for my own understanding. I'm sure God can give you your own, but for my own, it is broken into two parts. That is, why do I need to be in the Spirit? Because when a man does not know why he needs to do something, he doesn't have the strength to do it. All right, so the first part will be to receive an urgency in our spirit, why we must be in the Spirit, and why we must walk in the Spirit. And that will include trying to explain to what does it mean to be in the Spirit? What does it mean to be in Christ? Who is the one that is in Christ? How can I be in the Christ? Now, that is the second part of it. Second part of it is, how then, practically, on a day-to-day basis, can I walk, remain in the Spirit? So that is what I that is laid on my heart to achieve. Because there is great destruction coming. The outer court is being decimated. It's being slaughtered. Blood is flowing on our streets. You may not see it. Well, if your ear is on the ground, you hear of kidnappings. That's part of it. You know, if you are living in the northeast, I think you people say you have defeated Boko Haram, but Boko Haram has now woken up from sleep. It's a spirit. He will wake up. It's a spirit. The Bible says we are not resting against flesh and blood. So if you do not look at it and approach it properly, you too. Remember, the spirit doesn't understand English language. It only understands light or darkness. That's the only language in the spirit, you understand? So we are saying, how can I leave this hall now, I mean this hall, after this I'm going home, how can I, in the midst of that, remain in the spirit, you know, and walk in, you know, in modern, public life, they talk about sustainability. Anything you are doing, can you sustain it? Any project you are doing, if you can't sustain it, nobody is interested in it. Sustain, how can you sustain that life? Where do you get the energy? How do you function? Okay, I think that's enough for that area. So there are two scriptures we are looking at to give us a foundation. Now, the first one is in Genesis 7. I shared a little bit of it on Tuesday. I mentioned it to the brethren. Genesis, and it was an assignment in the Tuesday fellowship. We said, let us all go and study Genesis 6, 7, and 8. And it is also an assignment here. Will you accept? Okay, we will also accept that it's an assignment. All of us, go and study. So I'm just going to take something from it and run with it. I'm not going into that message. But Genesis 7, 5, 6, 7, 8 is about Noah's flood. What did Jesus say about Noah's flood? What did he say in Matthew 24? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the time of the coming of the Son of Man. Amen. Hallelujah. So he's saying, if you want to know what is happening today in Port Harcourt, go and look at Noah. That is exactly what. So God has already told you what will happen in 2015. He has already told you what's going to happen next year. I am your brother. Me and you are in it. Elijah prophesied. He was inside the judgment. Kidnapping, all those things will increase. Lawlessness will increase because darkness has to go. That was what's in the Bible. So anybody telling you Nigeria is going to get better, just forget it. The world will become worse and worse. It's going down. Amen. How's that mean? Did I say something wrong? Sis Angela, praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you, sister. It is well with you. Amen. Amen. Say to the righteous word, it is well with her. Amen. That's a special package. Receive it. Amen. You know? So, brethren, that is the truth. Don't let anybody tell you any story. That is it. So, Genesis 7, we're not preaching it, but we just want to pick something and run with it. Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong scripture. Verse 4. It says, for yet 7 days. It's a prophetic word. It's a set time. Alright? And I will cause it to rain upon the earth. There has never been anything like rain before. Alright? 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made, God made it, will I bless upon the face of the earth. Is it not so? Blessing, blessing, blessing. Blessing, 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 blessing. Read it well. Amen. It says there is destruction coming. Amen. And you better believe it. Because many did not believe it and they were destroyed. Now, if there is going to be destruction, that's not all the story. The other story is what? That God has made a way of escape. There are two sides to it. So darkness is coming, judgment is coming, it is not for me. You understand? God has made a way of escape. Now look at verse 1. It says, and the Lord said to Noah, come down, and all thy house where? Into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me. In where? In Nigeria. In 2015. Amen. If you don't know, know it very, very well. God always has a remnant. It's a principle that can never change. So anywhere you go, there are some people who are remnant. And like, those are my friends. Amen. Amen. So we're looking for a remnant. Anywhere we go, we're looking for the remnant. There is a man that is called upon the name of the Lord. That man needs it. So that's our job, to encourage all the... Amen. Don't you understand? And because of the remnant, God will not destroy the city until he takes clearance from the remnant. Don't you understand? Don't you understand? God cannot destroy the good with the bad. No. He has to clear the righteous first. Before he... So the righteous is a time bomb. So where are you? Where are you? Amen. There are people who are chaff. He said that the chaff, those who are not of God, they are like the chaff. It's a sheep for the slaughter. Flock for the slaughter. There are people that are fed to be slaughtered. Don't you understand? Is there? The prophet spoke about it. Say flock for the slaughter. So blessing. That's not the big deal. The big thing is, where is the remnant? Am I part of that remnant? So he told Noah, hurry up. Enter the ark. And before we go long, Christ is that ark. And our job today is to tell ourselves why we must enter the ark. Two, how do we enter the ark and remain there? Amen. Because when Noah entered, the Bible said that God shut him. Hallelujah. God closed the door and shut him in. And locked it, put the key in his pocket. He has the keys of hell and death. By the way, I believe that we are in the time of the two witnesses. Don't ask me too many questions. So that's what I believe. And the Bible says, if you are part of the two witnesses, no man can hurt you. Brothers, are you hearing very well? So if any man will hurt them, what happens? Fire proceeds from them. Don't go there and be praying fire anywhere. You understand? But you have to understand that nobody can touch you. No spirit, no kidnapper, no suicide bomber, whatever was hypertension. You know, there are spirits flying around. When they see you, they will pass. Why will they pass? It's not English language, because of the garment that you are clothed in. Don't you understand? Amen. So we are not speaking. You will see. Let me read this. That when the if you look at, I can't find it now, but he's saying that as the water came, it caused the ark to float. Amen. So the water is a blessing. The flood is a blessing. Amen. Your problem is not the flood. Your problem is getting to the ark. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me leave this one before I waste too much time on it. Now, let's look at the second scripture. I believe we'll come back to it. Now, we are speaking about going into the ark. And you know your Bible is written in symbols, in a prophetic language. So there is no way me and you are going to go to any ark. Alright? So that ark therefore speaks of a prophetic word. And we, inside the tabernacle, we have the ark. So it's an experience. All right. And Christ is that place of safety, is that ark. Now, to go into Christ, we also have been given a pattern. And there are seven steps to go. Seven is the number of perfection, is it not? So, where do you find seven steps? In fact, when you look at the ark itself was an ark because there are three levels. The lower story, middle story, upper story. So, you have the outer court, the middle court, and the holiest of all. You understand? So, the ark itself has levels. So, if you are going up, then it means you go one step to the other. So let's see where that is in the scripture. John chapter, I think it's chapter 1. John chapter 1. I think the last verse. Jesus was saying something to Nathanael. He says, verse 151. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So in Christ there are dimensions. All right. And when we go to Genesis, back to Genesis 7, let's read. Let's read again to get... I will be moving up and down because so is the manner of the burden. Okay, verse 13 says, in the selfsame day entered Noah and his sons and the wife and the three sons with them into the ark. All right. Verse 14, they... and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after his kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird after of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. This is a little bit detailed, we'll come to it, but the thing was that the Bible says that they went in, every living substance. Now, why is it taking so much time to tell you about creeping things and all that? Of course, so if you look at it in the natural, it doesn't make any, it's not profitable to you. So the only way that it can be profitable to you is to look at the spiritual meaning. Because every word of God has its own spiritual meaning. There is the outer part of the word, but spiritually there is a word. There is a man called Cornelius. And God came to him and told him, I'm going to have done something to the living creatures. I've cleansed them. I can clean the living creatures. The man said, no. According to a Jewish lesson, when once you're a living creature, you're unclean. Uh-huh. Okay, sorry, it was Peter, yes. And God told him, what I have cleansed. What do you do? Do you know what you're saying? Do you believe it? Have you told yourself that you cannot be clean? You have convinced yourself you cannot be holy. Do you understand? That is the word of God. And God says, what I have cleansed, do not say I can clean it. You see, when we talk about breaking through the veil, who is going to break through the veil? We think about breaking through the veil, and we are thinking of something, you know, so way out, and it's not real. The man that is going to break through the veil are the living creatures. Your emotion and your desire and your will, those are the living creatures. So go back to Genesis. He's speaking about the creeping things. We know the creeping things speak about the desires and the emotions. They are the lowest part of you, of you and me. And God says it must enter the ark. But how is he going to enter the ark? It must enter two and two. That means the only way that my emotion can enter into the ark, be cleansed, is that it must be in Christ. I must be, you know, male and female means I must be united with Christ. Then I enter the ark. I don't know if I'm speaking to somebody. Amen. You do not walk in the spirit by saying, from today I will walk in the spirit. No, 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 no. That's not the way. It's two and two, male and female. Christ is the head. You are the bride. Amen. If you want to walk in the spirit, you want your emotions, your creeping things, you want the wild birds, the fowls, your mind that is wandering, if you want it to be in Christ, be united with Christ. Two and two. Amen. Amen. Two and two is a lesson. So, you know, so it's giving us detail how you can walk in. But the point I wanted to make was that he kept saying in that chapter 7 that everything that was upon the earth shall be destroyed. Everything that was, when the water came, it prevailed for 150 days. All right? 150 is the number of the brazen altar. 15 or 150 is speaking about the brazen altar. Because how do I know? The brazen altar, what's the dimension of the brazen altar? 5 cubits in length, 5 cubits in width, and 3 cubits in height. So 3 and 5 give you 15. Amen. So the world has come to that brazen altar, to the place of judgment. And God is going to judge everything that is carnal. There is a carnal realm, there is an earthly realm, and there is a spiritual dimension. Amen. Amen. And the word we are being given is that everything that had breath that was upon the earth was destroyed by the flood. Everything that has breath, that lives upon the earth, is going to be destroyed by the flood. So if you want to be saved, go into the ark. God will send the rain, he will send tribulation to cause you to rise. Amen. Amen. So it says, when you see Jerusalem surrounded, what do you do? Rejoice. Lift up your head. Praise the Lord. For your redemption. Draw it now. Amen. Amen. So, I remember Brother Akon, beautiful brother, he said, I love tribulation. I said, look at this brother. I said, God, deliver me from tribulation. If I say, I love tribulation. Amen. Because say, tribulation worketh patience. And patience has this good work, a perfect work. Amen. It works patience. Amen. Okay, so let me go to the next point. Now, the instrument that God is going to use to bring judgment is the flood. All right? The instrument that God is going to bring. Now, flood is not water. Flood is not water. Flood means a current. It's flowing. And not just that it flows, but it covers everything. It must overcome. It must cover you. That's the quality of flood. When flood comes, every house, what happens, is under it. So it's, she says submerging. It means, in fact, the Greek word says to brought under the authority of the water. Amen. Do you see a flood? There are different types of floods. The word used for flood means a stream. You can have a stream of thoughts coming to you, ideas coming to you. Can ideas sweep you away? And the Bible calls it drunkenness. A man is drunken with new idea, new wine. He wants to be the president of Nigeria. He's a fraud. He doesn't rise. He wants to be rich. It's a fraud. Or it may be a flood of desire. You want to marry the sister. I remember when I wanted to marry one sister. Any brother that went around that sister was in trouble. Brother, say amen. Okay, she said amen. I'm telling you about myself. Not this sister, not this fine sister. Amen. Isaac, any brother that went in there, I said, oh boy, trouble there. Is it not so, brother?
He's
occupied. People should talk to me now. Sister Lucy. People should talk to me now. Okay, sister, I say it was what?
A flood.
Flood of marriage in your mind. God bless you, brother. Amen. God bless all the young people here. You will have the ability to overcome the flood. So when we're talking of flood, don't be thinking of water. It is a stream, a current. It can be in the emotions, it can be in the desire, it can be in your will, it can be, you understand? It may also be physical one. Amen. And it may be what? Aha, it could be offense. And if you're not careful, what does the flood do to you? It carries you. Amen. But God says the fish that is good fish must swim against the current. And to swim against the current, you must have something. You must have strength. So that's the strength we want to talk about. How do you get this strength to go against the current? Because believe it or not, there is a current on your soul. If you make mistakes sitting in front of television, hey, the whole current of the world is now flowing into you. Don't you understand? Somebody should say amen now.
Amen.
That's it, you have opened the current. This other one now, what's this one? Eric, what's this one called? Oh, they call it it's iPad. So it means you have opened the whole world into your eyes. It's a current. And before you know it, you're already in India with this. They leave you from India, carry you to America. You are still in Port Harcourt, you have gone to India, America, everywhere. You enter some people's bedroom. Yeah, no, is it not so? That's, they even show you their private things. That's the things you shouldn't see. You go there, iPad will carry you. Amen. So how can you overcome? Amen. Now let's look at Revelation 12 to see another flood. Revelation 12. I think it's verse 7, isn't it? We are moving closer to where we are going to. This is just introduction. I'm jumping. I'm not preaching like Isaac. I'm moving fast. Isaac, am I not doing very well? He said there was war in heaven. There's war in heaven. I'm sure I can. Well, let me define that for those who, if you have forgotten, heaven is within you. Heaven is, if you want heaven, don't look outside, it's right within. Amen. And there's war there. Because River Nile and River Euphrates, they all flow in. Don't you understand? River Nile is the river that flows and gives life to Egypt. And there are frogs in it. There are frogs in that river. So out of the Nile came forth frogs. They jumped on the bed, jumped on the food, jumped everywhere. And those frogs are evil spirits. Don't you understand? So when you open up your soul, frogs come in. And they're jumping everywhere. They're defiling everything. But there is a river that makes it glad, the city of God. Amen. There's another river. It says the tabernacles of the Most High. Which river is flowing to you? He told Eden. He said there was four rivers in Eden. One came in. It entered four. Because there are four countries. One is called emotion. One is called desire. There's a river that comes from God to feed it. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You can switch off one and open the other one, or you switch off. You can't open both at the same time. The house of Saul and the house of David, one must gain upper hand. The Bible says, as time went on, the house of David began to prevail. Is that river? Which river is prevailing in your heart? Is it the one of Euphrates? It comes from God. It's a river. When it dries up, men come out as beasts. Don't you understand? And we are coming to that time when that river, in some people, it will not be flowing at all, at all, at all, at all. They will lose the ability to have human kindness. The boy that slaughters people, when they brought him to court, he broke down and started crying. Do you know why? The spirit has now left him alone. So yeah, I've done my job, so you go your way. Flock for the slaughter. Don't you understand? The boy broke down and was crying in court. So that was the humanity has come forth. Before it was covered. That is how to be in the spirit. When you talk about flesh and spirit, old man and spirit, carnal man and spirit, what's the other one? Carnality and spirit. Those things are spiritual language to talk about the influence over the soul. Every soul must be influenced. If the soul is not influenced by the Spirit of God, the Bible says it is in the flesh, or it is the old man. It is raw flesh. That means it's the raw human nature that is not being refreshed, nourished, quickened, given life by the river of the life of God. Amen. And as men turn from that river of life, they become more and more evil. So anybody telling you that the world is going to get better, forget it. But I know where to get better, in Goshen. And Goshen is right in Egypt. Amen. So you are walking around, but you are in Goshen. There's light around you. The accident will come, hit poor. And you see it with your eyes, but it will not come near you. The only problem is that when you are walking in the flesh, the devil says, you are going to be nice. Tell the devil that I am not going to be nice. Because my life is hid in Christ. In God. With my eyes, I will see the reward of the wicked. But be careful how you see, oh. Because if you are not strong, the devil will tell you, and you believe it. Oh my God. Hey, broadcast, let's pray now. Let's pray. The man is fear, is afraid. But if the man is strong, he will know. Amen. That it is not so. That your portion is not with the ungodly. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are speaking about the flood. And in Revelation 12, he said there was a flood that came out of the mouth of the dragon. But what is it? I think it's down. Come back. I think it's 12. 15. That's it. And the serpent. Is this a natural water? Does the devil cast out natural water? So take note. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood. Afterward, the woman. That he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up of the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was brought to doom, and so on and so on. So brethren, we are looking at, my interest is on this flood for my soul. Amen. Because that's the war. That there is a flood, there is something directed by the devil against my soul. In the morning, you have to go to work. You forget you're a Christian. Okay, not you. Immediately I enter my car, I'm in UPTH. Alright? The next time I remember the Christians by 11 o'clock, maybe, when I manage and I announce it, let me read my Bible. I say, God, it must stop. Amen. I must be a Christian every day, every hour of the day. It is more than amen. You need energy. You need strength. How can this man achieve that? So of us carry our files back home. That you haven't finished in the office. The river has followed you back to work. Amy has a table filled with assignments like this. And she's struggling, I'm sure. Sister. Hey, you're a Christian. Amen. How can I keep? You say, where with that shall a young man cleanse his way? Amen. How can I overcome the flood? You are driving on the road. Your eyes are going everywhere. Nobody is telling you that the flood is flowing. Eh? Amen. Even the one you didn't bargain for, they carry and put on your table, boy. Or you eat. It's good meat. Eat. You enjoy. Hallelujah. Say amen now. Oh, see, I'm a very good brother. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So, I believe God is saying we'll have to overcome the flood. Now, if we go to let's look at verse 13. No, let's start from 12. I think we jumped too much. Verse 12 says, therefore, rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he had but a short time. Now, the verse 12 is giving us three levels, three places in which the soul can operate. There are three levels. One, he calls it the sea. The second one, he calls the earth. And then the last one is the heavens. Amen. Now, those are three different levels that my mind operates. It goes between the three. I'm not going to go into it so that we don't become distracted. But my interest is the first two, the earth and the sea. It said the devil has been cast down there. So if you are carnal, you have to contend with the devil. The devil has a short time. There is destruction on the earth. Earthquakes, killings, wars, destructions, cultural changes, times and fashion, everything is being inside, is being destroyed. That's not where you want to be. You don't want to be on the earth. Where you want to be, in the heavens. Amen. Alright. Verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth. Now, the woman is on the earth. The man child the woman brought forth is in heaven. The man child is called up to the throne of God. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
So, the woman is a type of a church. At the beginning, in chapter 1, verse 1, it says, he saw a vision. A woman standing upon the moon, pregnant with. So, there are three churches. One is the moon. Two is the woman. Three is the child coming from out of the woman. Alright. So, which one are you? Of course, my child. Very soon they will knock on your door and ask you, what did you say? You say, are you the one that said my child? You say, no, I made a mistake. Because every word will be tried. Oh yeah, so be careful the word you are talking to. Amen. Hallelujah. There are three levels of church. So when you hear so and so has happened, the first question you ask yourself is, what level is God speaking about? God has no protection for the outer court. It's open. And darkness is coming. It's overtaking it. You and I should not be there. Amen.
Amen.
So when they say Christians are dying, which type of Christians are dying? There are some Christians that were dying. Yes. Yes. So, there are some prayers you should not be praying. I hope you know. God saves your people, yes. As long as they are aware. As long as they are aware. Inside the ark. That's where there is salvation. God has saved his people. To get into the ark. That's why I provided a place for you. If you are outside the ark, the flood will carry the person away. Amen.
Amen.
If I am an elder and I'm outside the ark, is that a protection? Say I'm elder. He said, hey, no problem. We shall see very soon. Isaiah says, oh my people, enter thou into where? Into thy chamber. Until the indignation be overpassed. There's no grammar in it. Eh? Montessori, whatever you call yourself. Are you inside the ark? That's the language. Amen. I attended December conference. Are you inside the ark? We have raised the sick. Are you inside the ark? Amen. I know tabernacle. Are you inside the ark? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I think we are landing now. Verse 14. He said, and to the woman, we are given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. It's going to be rough. Brethren, believe it, it's going to be rough. Because anything on the earth is face to face with the devil. And he's the God of this world. He knows science. He knows their body. So he's walking in the body. He's walking everywhere. And he is the God of this world. He has given authority. The only man he cannot touch is the man that is not in this world. Amen.
Amen.
Say amen now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The only man he cannot touch is a man that is not in this world. There are some people that are not under his territory. So he says, I pray for them. I am not saying you should take them out of this world. Amen.
Amen.
But that thou might keep them from the evil. Amen. Hallelujah. So somebody calls me and says, look, that GRA, there are kidnappers. Don't go there again. Immediately it's 7 o'clock, I don't want to see you out of your house. I want to make sure you are inside your house. The fellowship is by 5 o'clock. When do you start? It ends by 9. So that means that kidnappers and myself are coming face to face.
Amen.
If you want to save your life, you can have fellowship at home. Brother, can't you have fellowship at home?
Right.
Yes, you can have fellowship at home. After all, God can move everywhere. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So, there is ministry given to the woman. And to the woman, we are given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into a place prepared. So there is a preparation that God has made. Amen. And that is what I want to get into. What is this preparation that God has made? What is the preparation that God has made? The eagle, speaking of the mind, it's one of the flying creatures. It speaks of the mind. What is the preparation that God has made for the mind? Let's start from the beginning. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. We've talked about the need, and we've talked about the danger of the flood. Now we're saying, how do we overcome the flood? The way to overcome the flood is to rise higher.
Yes.
Amen. It's only one way up. Amen. If you want to go up, there's only one thing to do, is to use your wing to rise. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 16, Ephesians 3:16, that he will grant you according to the riches of his grace to be strengthened with might by his spirit. Where?
In the inner man.
The English language I can understand is that the inner man is weak. The inner man is fallen. The inner man is diseased. The inner man is in captivity. The inner man is disconnected. The inner man has several conditions going with it. Amen. Hey, now we are going to sing one song, girl. Close that door. Nobody is passing through that door apart from those who are pregnant. Amen. Brother Fu, say praise the Lord. I'm closing this one now. Say praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Abraham's blessings are mine. Bro, we're going to sing that one now. Abraham's blessings are mine.
Abraham's blessings are mine.
You know, you can stand up and claim the blessing. I am blessed in the morning. I am blessed in the evening. Abraham's blessings are mine. Hallelujah. Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. I am blessed in the morning. I am blessed in the evening. Abraham's blessings are mine. Hallelujah. Blessings are mine. Abraham, blessings are mine. I am blessed in the, I am blessed in the evening. Tell that sister, that God will. Hallelujah. Abraham, blessings are mine. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor. I am blessed in the morning. I am blessed in the evening. Abraham's blessings are mine. Amen.
Amen.
Shake your neighbor and say, Abraham's blessings are mine.
Abraham's blessings are mine.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So we are talking about rising. We are speaking about this inner man. You know, and our brother was talking about this inner man last week. So we are back to last week. So we are speaking about the inner man. And he said the inner man needs strength. Do you agree? The inner man needs strength. And the inner man is mind. So the mind needs strength. So the mind has specialized to fly in low, low places. It has no strength. Because to go up, it must contend with the heavy current. Say, no, let me not go there. Let me just remain on the earth where the wind is very gentle. Amen. But the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall do what? Renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. Amen. The more the mind stays at the low, low places, the more you notice all the people who have not greeted you, who didn't look at you well. Don't you notice that when you are very high, you don't see things on the earth anymore? When you are up in the helicopter, you are flying, you are going to work, broadcast knows, you don't see anybody, when you see small things on the ground, they say they're buildings, you are up there. Amen. The higher you go, the less of the record on the ground you see. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. The more you stay on the earth, you'll be remembering, see everybody, see, the man has not come today, he has not entered, he has done so and so. Climb up higher. And your view will change. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So Paul was praying that the inner man might be strengthened. Can I ask you a question? Is your inner man strengthened? When did you strengthen the inner man last? I saw you were eating chicken yesterday. This morning, you didn't allow the rice to rise. As your inner man eating, what food did you give the inner man today? Amen. Amen. What kind of food did you give the inner man yesterday? Huh? Amen. Did you give him what they call stick snack? Just 5 minutes prayer. It's enough for you. Amen. Five minute prayer, it cannot be enough for the inner man. No? When the body is growing fat. Hallelujah. Amen. So there is such a thing as the inner man. And the inner man is your soul and your spirit together. That word is a compound word. So you have the outer man, that's the body. And then you have the inner man. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's look at another scripture. I think it's in chapter 4. You can just go next verse. Look at verse 17, saying, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of your mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to walk all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard of him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you do what? That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you do what? You put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking, speak every man truth with his neighbor, and so on and so on. Amen. So, Paul understood that there was a difference between the outward man and the inward man. The outward man is a natural man. He has natural sense, natural wisdom, and that wisdom is survival. Alright? Okay, so the four dimensions of that natural man, it has been specialized for 6,000 years to dwell on the earth. Amen. It's Cana. Amen. And you are trying to overcome it by putting on a new nature. Amen. So it's spiritual warfare. The flesh does not die easily. So to renew this inward man, it's not by resolution. From today, I will renew the inward man. No, it's more than that. Amen. It's more than that. Let's look at the scriptures. Let's look at one more scripture to help us identify this outward man. 1 Corinthians 9:27. We'll share this here. Paul said, "But I keep under my body." I keep under my body. So he makes a difference between body and I. And bring it into subjection. Lest by any means, when I have preached to it, the sister said, leg, this thing here. Nothing is going to hurt you. Oils, be very, very careful where you are. The oil, you say, I better respect myself. Oh. Amen. That's called dominion. You can speak to your body. How many people believe you can speak to your body? Have you been doing that? Yes. The body was given to you to minister to you. And I asked that question one time. Who do men say that I am? So the question is, who do you say that you are? Are you body? Or you are the inner man? Hallelujah. Say amen now. There's a new man rising. I want you to understand that there's a new man. There has been an old man. Amen. The old man defines himself by his body. Look at me. I'm very pretty. I'm very pretty. I'm very pretty. Very pretty where? Is it the outward man that is pretty or the inward man that is pretty? What did Proverbs say? Beauty is what? Favor is what? But the woman, the soul that feareth the Lord shall be praised. That's where there is weight. Amen. Brethren, we need to, if you want to overcome, this is lesson one, day one. You must sit down and decide who you are before you even go anywhere. Who are you? Where did you come from? The Bible says, Lord, that has been our dwelling place in all generations. So, when Jesus stood before them, he said, look at me. I and the Father are one. If you have seen the Father, and you have seen me, then you have seen the Father. He looked at them and said, I am the resurrection and the life. Don't you understand? He says, this is a new man you are looking at. This is a new generation of men. Many of us are still walking with, our mind is falling. So low. You look at yourself, I'm Nigerian. You can't be Nigerian. There's nothing like Nigeria in heaven. The man went there and said, my name is Jacob. Say, what? Jacob? Say, there's nothing like Jacob here. Yeah, my name is Jacob. I'm a supplanter. Look, nothing. You only see prince here. Say, what language is that? The problem we have is that we have not made the shift. The Bible says, reckon yourselves to be what? Dead. Reckon is mind. Say, no, I'm still dead. I'm still this. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so you see. Amen. If you say a grasshopper, so it will be bound to the earth. You can only hop on your back. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So the first part of overcoming, rising from the earth to escape the flood, is that you must realize who you are. You must know that you have a soul, that you are the soul rather, and that you have a spirit from God. So there is a spirit in man. And the inspiration of God giveth it understanding. Amen. Hallelujah. We came from God and we're going back to God. Amen. By the way, Jesus says, I am he that was. I am he that is. And I'm he that is coming. Do you understand that language? That's a new man that God is creating. And it's the same spirit that was in him that should be in you. That is doing the same thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Brethren, are you ready to rise and answer your name? New man. Amen. The Bible says the fullness of the Godhead. I don't know if you understand that. Dwelleth where? bodily in him. That's the new Adam. That's a new Adam. Adam means God in man. Hallelujah. Amen. Adam, okay, what does Adam mean? Adam means man. But that man cannot be complete until he is what he is. And it is God in man. That's Adam. God breathed into Adam and he became a living soul. Amen. Hallelujah. So the body that God has created has an indwelling of man, of soul. And that soul must come alive, must be strengthened in the inner man. Okay, let's run now. Now, for the soul, for me to be in the spirit means that I am under the influence of the Spirit of God. That's what it means. To be in. When you say in Christ, means under the influence. Under the influence of Christ. That's the key. To be in Christ means to be under the influence of Christ. And the example you can see in Leviticus 8. If you have any questions, just write it down. Note it, we will take it. I'm jumping and speaking in summary sometimes. So if it's not clear, we will deal with it. Leviticus 8 is the chapter that speaks of the consecration of the priest. Now, this is the second point. The first point I said is what? Is to determine who you are. That's one by one. If you want to walk in the spirit, you must determine who you are. Because it is your soul that is in the spirit. You are on earth, but your soul is in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. So you are on earth, but you are walking in the heavenly places. The Bible says we are seated in Christ. Where? In the heavenly places. So it is where, which government, what spirit rules the soul that determines whether you are in the spirit or in the flesh. I remember the soul, we are looking at these living creatures. And God said every one of them must come into the ark. The fowls, the creeping things, the cattle, the wild beasts, clean and unclean, come in. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you break through the veil when your mind is in Christ. You are broken through the veil. Because Hebrews 10:19 says that Jesus broke through the veil, which is what? His flesh. So when you talk of flesh, you are speaking about the emotions, the desire, the will. Those are the flesh. Amen. If you bring the soul under Christ, you are broken through the veil. And you are right, like Brother Cass was praying, right into the presence of God. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
There is pressure on that veil, and very soon we shall tear it open. Because very soon we are going to build permanent structures in the holiness of all. Don't you understand? So it's a very thin veil between my mind and the mind that is under the covering of the Spirit of God. That's where we're going to. Amen. I'm next in line for the blessing. Amen. We are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of those that are pressing on to the saving of the soul. Amen. Okay, Leviticus 8. Now, Leviticus 8 speaks of the consecration of Aaron and his sons. I want you to know this very well, because this is the key to walking in the Spirit. Now, Aaron was a priest in the flesh, naturally, because his father was Levi. it was by birth, all right, that he became a priest. And Aaron was a priest in the tabernacle that was in Jerusalem, a natural tabernacle, natural priesthood. He brought natural offerings, some of them, Urias was telling us this morning. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
But that's one dispensation. Now, in the new dispensation, who is Aaron? No, no, you can't be saying Jesus is Aaron. Okay. No, 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 don't go there. Just calm down. You know what I mean. Christ is, but that's not the object of Christ, the head. Alright? So, the burden of what we are talking about is the body. Christ has head and body. So, I don't expect you to be saying Christ. I expect you to talk of the body. Because Christ, the head, is already established. So, in the New Testament, the priesthood is made up of men and women. And the beginning of that priesthood was Jesus Christ. But see, the burden of it is the body. God is raising a body. Alright, so if you want to walk in the spirit, the body must be submitted to the head. And that is the male and the female. So he was saying, when you come into the ark, you must come in male and female. So the female, that's the body, cannot enter into the ark, cannot come into the spirit without the head. Now, many of us are struggling to walk in the spirit without the strength of the head. And that's why many are failing, and some people have turned back, because we don't have the strength. The strength of walking in the spirit is in the head, but I must be united with the head. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So how do I become united in the head? The scripture shows us again, when we are going to read Leviticus 8. But see, the high priest must eat the food. Or the priest, they have to eat the food. The offering that has been made is eaten by the high priest and eaten by the priest. And that way, that bull that has been offered finds its way into the holiest of all. So, if I want to break in, I must be in. I must be eaten. And that is speaking of submission. So if I'm not submitted to the head, then I cannot be in Christ. So the key is what? Submission to Christ. Submission to the head. You look at the scripture that says, seven women will take hold of one man. And they say to the man, we will eat our own bread. Rebellion. We will wear our own apparel. Rebellion. Only let us be called by your name. Greatest rebellion. Amen. So everything is I. Nothing of Christ that is there. Amen. And that is what you find in the church. The church is body based. It is I. And very little of the head of Christ. You remember the story of Esther? She didn't desire anything for herself. She was looking for what would please the king. So everything she did was to please the king, was to please the master. And today there is a rebellion. Everything is I must have it. As long as it is good for me, it's accepted. Amen. So the first principle of being in Christ is that the soul must be consecrated. If you look at that revelation, Leviticus 8, the Aaron didn't just wake up and start ministering, start bringing an offering. It had to be set apart. And Brother Urias was trying to differentiate being consecrated and being set apart and being holy. All right. He said, be ye holy as I am holy. And the consecration that was upon the head of Aaron must come upon my mind. My mind must be consecrated. But you see, the strength of the consecration of the mind is in the brazen altar. And many of us wonder, why is our mind undisciplined? Why are our emotions undisciplined? How can it be disciplined when it has not started its journey? You must start the journey at the brazen altar where the mind, emotions, and desire are judged. If not, there is no strength. So if you want your emotions to not to go into lust, you want to overcome lust, you want to overcome the desires, unclean thoughts, unclean desires, oh God, cleanse my heart. It doesn't end there. My mind, my emotions must come to that place of consecration. And there must be judgment. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
So, the altar, that experience of the brazen altar is four squared. It is designed for the soul. That's where you must start. And he says, because of time, I'm not going to read all of Leviticus 11 of it. I recommend it. Go and study it. There are three things. So you take the right ear. You take the right thumb. And you take the right toe. Right toe is the last. I don't know if you are with me. Right ear. Right thumb. Last. Right. You cannot walk when the toe and the ear have not been sanctified. Amen.
Amen.
Say amen now.
Amen.
I'm your brother. Amen. Hallelujah. There's an order in the spirit. There's order. The soul must be, because the soul is the new priest. Amen. And this priesthood is the priesthood, it says, of Melchizedek. Without flesh, without mud, without father and mother, without the beginning or end. So it is a priesthood of the spirit. It's of the soul. When you talk of spirit, you are speaking of the soul, not of the flesh. Not natural born. I'm born Nigerian. No. I'm born of the spirit. Born of the water. Then I am qualified. One of the things he was talking about, the incense had four parts. Again, speaking of the soul. Galbanum, Onicha, what's the other one? Stacte, and frankincense. Four. Speaking of the emotions. The desire, the will. And when you take them, the brother was saying, you grind it. A preparation. Many of us think you just wake up and then you have, no. There must be an order. And for them, it was 7 days before the Lord. Why didn't God just do like this and they were already cleansed? No. So we are bringing carnal understanding into, and that's why we are failing. If it took Aaron 7 days, it would take you 7,000 years. Don't you understand? Don't you understand? Because this priesthood is for an eternal generation. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's a preparation in the spirit. It's a lifetime. Every day, you must bring yourself as an offering. You bring it to God. Say, God, consecrate my soul. Consecrate my thoughts. Consecrate my desires. Walk upon it. So when they bring it, they burn it. Do you know that the nature of the emotions is to be something to be burnt? Don't you understand? When you get hot and you are heated in your emotion, it's an offering. It might be anger. You are heated in anger. Eh? Your emotions are boiling. It's an offering. There's a heat. There's an energy that is coming from it. I want to talk about the other one, passions. Huh? So be careful about the inward man. For you are fearfully and wonderfully made. A pregnant woman that doesn't understand herself goes everywhere. Then when she understands herself, she withdraws. Amen. She knows she's special. Amen. May God help us to know who we are. Amen. That there is God is creating something. Amen. There's an incubation going on. Amen. And that your emotions were made to be an offering. Your desires were made, tailor-made as an offering. Everything my desire is offering. Say, so let the lifting up of my hands be loved, like an incense unto you. Let the words of my mouth and what? The meditations of my heart be what? Be acceptable. Now, let me throw in something. Do you know that your soul has odor? Okay, sorry, has perfume. Okay, brother, what did you say? Perfume. It is perfume. Amen. Your soul is made to fume. If it's good one, it becomes perfume. If it's anger, it becomes odor. Amen. God smelled the sacrifice. God has knows. What do you think is God's knows is to partake of the offering in your soul. Don't you understand? When there is anger, say no, it's not for me. When it is good, then God comes and he begins to take gladness. Yeah, I don't have time to go into all the scripture. I've given you the scripture. So within you is a sweet smelling odor. Amen. When God looks at you, he relaxes. He says, oh God, he says, the devil, do you see that brother? What do you know about him? The devil said, don't mind him. He didn't pray yesterday. He said, no. I'm seeing a sweet perfume in him. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let my life be like an incense. Yeah. Hallelujah. When God thinks about you, his head begins to roll. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. God has knows so that you can bless him. Amen. He has eyes so he can look. He has ears so that he can hear every cry you make. Amen. Deep calls to deep. Hallelujah. So, brethren, we are speaking about priesthood of the soul. For the soul to function under Christ, it must be submitted to it. It must come under the influence. Amen. Say amen, huh?
Amen.
That's the first rule. So if my soul is going to bring any offering, first of all, it must submit. Hallelujah. So let's read a little bit of detail. It's only just 1:00. Let's look at verse 21. Verse 20 says, and he cut the ram into pieces, and Moses burnt the head and the pieces and the fat, and he washed the inwards. Did you see that? Look now. And he did what? He washed the inwards. Amen. So he cleansed them by the washing of the water by the word. Amen. Amen. The inwards must be washed. Must be washed by the water. The inwards, inwards must be washed. Hallelujah. By the water, by the word. Amen. Amen. Before you bring it as an offering, you wash it. You must wash the inwards. Hallelujah. That means you bring the inwards under the cleansing action of the word. So you are clean by the words that have spoken unto you. Amen. The word cleanses. It's like your water. It's another kind of flood. That word can become a flood. And you are being carried by it. Hallelujah. Amen. So the word of God is an influence of the Spirit. That's how you are in the Spirit. when your soul is always under the washing power of the word, then you are in the spirit. Amen. And when you are under that influence and you begin to function by the spirit, that means you are walking. Amen. All right, let me ask you. If I close my eyes and I close my ears, amen, I cannot walk. It's just that I know this place. But if I close my eyes and begin to, you cannot walk in the spirit except your eyes are opened. And there are many blind men in the church attempting to walk in the spirit. It will end in disaster. And that's why there is disaster in the church. Amen.
Amen.
Many blind men walking and leading into the ditch. May the Lord deliver us from blindness.
Amen.
Amen. The first rule to walk in the spirit is that the eyes must be open. Amen. That's why he takes the blood and puts it where? On the right ear. The senses. The senses. The man must see and hear God. Amen. Must see into the purpose of God. Must see into the counsel of God. Must see into the heart of God. Must hear. Then he can walk. Hallelujah. When the ears and the eyes have not been opened, the right thumb cannot function. It cannot bring any acceptable offering. Amen. So you cannot function in the spirit. The offering will be wrong. It will be like that of Cain. Amen. He brought an offering, but it was not acceptable. Where did he bring his offering from? From the ground. Cursed ground. The ground was cursed. He said, go on, take it. He said, no. It must be by blood. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when that has been done, then the right toe is anointed to walk. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you look at Leviticus 8, it gives us the order of the redemption or the consecration. First of all, the blood. Then you put the oil on top of the blood. Amen. Hallelujah. And then even the blood, say they pour the blood at the base. Why didn't he just throw the blood away? May God pour the blood on my base. My foundations, my those foundations. You know where they are. Amen. God brings the blood upon the foundation. Pour it at the base of the altar. Amen. Who is the altar? The foundations of the altar must be cleansed. It says, and therefore you sanctify the altar. Amen.
Amen.
Brethren, blood must come upon the foundations of our altar. Our roots must be judged and purged and cleansed. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's the blood that does it. Amen.
Amen.
And it is not a one-day thing. That's why God gives you at least 70 years to do it. Amen. The 70 years is not for you to run around, you know, say you are in school and all that. School is good, but know why you are in school. It's so that you can cleanse this altar. You can purify this altar because it's going to function in God forever and ever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. So 50 years is really nothing. It is just a preparation of this altar. Amen. So the soul, like Aaron, is a priest. How dare Aaron function as a priest without being cleansed? And then without being anointed? There are two different things. You first of all cleanse it by blood. Then you anoint it to separate it. Amen. And then he has to even wear his garments of priesthood. We can't get into that today. Amen. So, brethren, this inner man must be prepared. And it cannot be by accident. Let's be going. We prepare. No. It must be definite. say, bring Aaron and his sons that I may consecrate them. And he says, bring your soul as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Now I want to end because I want us to do some practical exercise about the inward man. Okay, let's look at Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs and look at some practical things about this inward man. This is to provoke us to go to the Lord, to do something about this inward man. Proverbs 16:24. It says, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the body. Amen. I want you to look up. We're giving, this is a different alternative healing from ampicillin and tetramycin. The real healing. The brother says the real healing. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to look up. Your soul, your emotions and my desire and can be sweetened. Has your soul ever been bitter? Cast down. This is how to sweeten it. Pleasant words. Amen.
Amen.
Pleasant words. The soul is a reality. This inward man is a reality. Don't be so carried away by the desires and the demand of the outward man. I didn't read the scripture, but Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4 says, though the outward man perish, that the inward man is what? Being renewed day by day. When you fast, you want to say outward man, let's put some pressure on you. Amen. Is there anybody who has not fasted in this room for the past one month, you have not fasted at all? Okay. In the past 3 weeks, you have not fasted at all. Okay. In the past 2 weeks, you didn't fast at all. Okay, it's coming higher now. In the past 1 week, you didn't fast at all. Amen. The outward man needs to perish. You need to bring the power of the outward man down. And when you put the outward man down, the new world man is strengthened to rise. Amen.
Amen.
The outward man feeds by the natural senses, including food. And it's just the outward man. And because the inward man has nothing, it also partakes of that natural. Don't you understand? So when you might eat chicken, say, oh, I'm enjoying. It means it has lost its reality. Amen. But when you begin to feed the inward man with the reality of life. Amen. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. If any man eats of me, he shall not die. Amen. And Job says, no, the root is dead in the ground. When it hears the scent of water, it comes alive. May the Lord help us to come alive within us. Amen.
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 You can come alive. Your true emotions can come alive. Now what sweetens you is not just the natural. Amen. Hallelujah. Sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Amen. Proverbs 16. We can go to the next one. Okay, let's go to Proverbs 13. You see, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. Proverbs 13:2. But the soul of the transgressor shall eat what? violence. Amen. So we are looking at the eating habits of the inward man. Some people thrive in violence, in confusion, in lawlessness. When everything is orderly, they are out of it. Amen. That includes husband and wife. Amen. It is said that Nigerian people, couples, that their pastime is quarreling. So who will I fight with now? He has died. There's no more, nobody else for me to fight with. Lucy, haven't you heard it before? Okay, you are hearing it today. The man is crying, nobody is there again for him to fight with. Because the wife, his fighting partner has died. May the Lord deliver us. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a soul that receives life from violence. May that not be a portion.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Look at verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. If you want to feed your soul, you must be diligent. You say, oh, must I do it every day? Must you eat this afternoon? Eh? Must you eat this morning? Alright? So we make allowance for the body, but no allowance in the spirit. Amen. We need diligence. So, it says the, what's that woman? The virtuous woman. She says she goes very far to bring her food. To feed her household. Do you know the household? It's the soul. Members of her household. You know, she goes very far. Looks for flax, for wool. In the night, she doesn't sleep. She's toiling. How many times do you have a personal night vigil? In the word. And in prayer. Yes? You know, you raise your hand inside your heart. Personal night vigil. You are toiling like the virtuous woman. You want to get oil. You want to get life. You stay before the Lord, toiling. Amen. It's called diligence. Seest thou a man diligent in his way? Eh? He shall not walk before being men. He shall walk before kings. He will be a son of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's look at 25, I think. Verse 25. The righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want, because it is a bottomless pit. Immediately after that afang soup, you only need 3 hours. You want another afang soup. Brayago, is it not true? Yes, Brayago has agreed. Amen. Hallelujah. Huh? Amnon went into her sister. At the end of it, he hated her. There's no satisfying. Don't you understand? Amen.
Amen.
But for the righteous, there can be a place where we are satisfied. Because God becomes our satisfaction. Amen. If you want peace, walk in the way of righteousness. Amen. And there will be peace. Amen. I want to jump. Okay, look, let's go to 12. That's an important scripture I want to see there. 12:25. Proverbs 12:25. We're looking at the practicalities. Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it to stoop, but a good word make it glad. Hallelujah. You see the power of the word? Amen. When a man is heavy, he goes to the drinking parlor, beer drinking parlor, to drink, to forget his sorrows, to sleep. The Bible says in Proverbs 25, when he wakes up, what does he say? I will go again. Amen. But for you, when your soul is cast down, David says, I will turn to the Lord. Because you are looking for a word. You are looking for a word. That a good word will make you glad. Hallelujah. So the ministry of the word is very important. The ministry of the word to yourself, and also the public ministry of the word. Because the ministry of the word, when you get a word from God, it breaks that hold of heaviness and depression. Sometimes somebody speaks a word to you and your whole system is disturbed. But if you receive, if you have walked with the Lord and you're walking with the Lord, you know that is when you need a word from God. Because when you get a word from God, that word is enough to lift your soul out of that place of being cast down. So of course, we are in situations and we go to the wrong place to look for a solution. I pray that we will begin to come to the place where when we are cast down, we will turn to the Lord. Someone says, I will lift up my soul unto the hill. From whence cometh my help? I will lift up my eyes. See, my help cometh from the Lord, who made the heaven. Now, if you are lifting up, you must have confidence that God can meet that need. That is what it means to be holy. Holy doesn't mean when you wear tight knit trousers like me. Holy means that you are completely dependent on God, whether it is good or bad. If you are cast down, you go to God for a word. Amen. If you are high, you go to God to strengthen you further. That's a holy man. Hallelujah. Because everything, all your springs are in God. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll just take a few more and then we'll close. Let's look at Psalm 107. Psalm 107. By the way, are you still in the Psalms? Yes, yes. We talked about reading the Psalms and Proverbs. Are you there? Have you been practicing it? Are you there? Amen. So we're looking at verse 5. Okay, I just want to pick certain words. He's speaking about the children of Israel. Say, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Okay, so he's telling you the qualities of the soul, that your soul can faint, can be famished. You know, the soul can be hungry and therefore needs to be fed. But look at verse 18. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Alright? Look at verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and deliver them from their destructions. Amen. Verse 9. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Amen. The soul is hungry. The soul is like a child. When a child is hungry, it starts crying. Sometimes that crying, because the child can't speak. It cries. So within us, we have a cry within our soul. We are crying out for God. And the man is crying out for God, he goes to buy a car. The soul is crying out for God, he goes to eat more food. The soul is crying out for God, he goes to marry more wives. It doesn't solve the problem. Amen. The longing soul can be satisfied by God. Amen. And we're praying that what we have done today is a way to just stimulate us. To show us that there is a life of the inward man. And there is a life also of the outward man. That the inward man is falling. But God is in the business of redeeming this inward man. And not just to redeem it, but to anoint it, to consecrate it, to function as a priest. Amen. And this priesthood is meant to be an offering. So whether I am prepared or not, the things I am engaged in is an offering. Amen. Are they an offering of life or an offering of death? But the thing is, as I go in God, the house of David should be overcoming. That is, my offering should be more and more and more the offerings of righteousness. See, the path of the light is what? Is like a shining light. That becomes brighter and brighter. 2 months from now, I must be brighter. Amen. 2 months from now, I should be seeing more in the Spirit. 2 months from now, I must be hearing more of the voice of God. Do you know why? Because the more of the word of God you hear, the more you wake up. So the inward man is arising. It's called the resurrection. Amen. And God is quickening the people. Resurrection is not a date. It is a person. A person. And if you are in Christ, you will be resurrected. Amen. You become alive every day. Hallelujah. Life will become exciting. Because you are seeing. Every day you are seeing more and more of God. Every day you are hearing more and more. You are beholding His face. And your vision and your hearing become stronger. And your ability to draw life from God becomes stronger. Amen. When we come in, brethren, that's life. But you know that there can be life. You say that his soul abhorred meat. That there is life, but they are so weak that you can't even rise up and eat. The Bible says he's sluggard. Even when he has gone and caught meat from the bush, he is so lazy, he can't even rise up and kill it and prepare it. Amen. Hallelujah. May the Lord strengthen us.
Strengthen me, Lord.
That we'll have strength to stand. Amen. That we'll not continually be lame or be blind, be halt. Amen. How is it that the first miracle was that the man that was at the gate began to leap and to jump? In the church, there are many lameness, but God can turn that lameness and will begin to leap and walk and shout in healing. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I believe healing has come.
Amen.
Amen. A strengthening of the inward man. You know, to understand that your soul is as real, more real than your body. Amen. Because it's going to abide before God. That is the new priesthood, brethren, that God is raising up. Don't pay too much attention on the negatives. Amen. The devil will show you the negatives. Don't you see this? Don't you see this? Paul said, one thing I do, always forgetting the things that are past. And looking forward for the things ahead. Amen. I have fault. I don't look at them. I'm looking at the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. I say, may the Lord bless and keep you. Amen. That's actually the prayer I want to pray. I say, may the Lord bless and keep us.
Amen.
May He lift up His countenance.
Amen.
May He cause His face to shine upon us. And give us peace. Be goodness. Be gracious unto us. Amen. That in the land of the living, we'll be strong to serve the Lord. Amen. The Bible says that when Moses came, that somebody began to speak to him from between the wings of the cherubim. Don't you understand? He had a voice. May we begin to hear the voice of God. Lord, anoint our ears. Anoint our eyes. Redeem it, O God, by your blood. Say, they overcame by the blood. We'll bring this inward man that is fainted, that is void of understanding, that is foolish, that is in rebellion, O God. That is like that bull. We'll bring it as an offering, O God. We'll bring the rebellion, the strength of the ox. I will say, oh God, bind it with sacrifice, with cords upon the altar, oh God, that this beast might be slain.
Yes.
Lord wants that if I bring the blood of consecration, we bring this offering of the burnt offering, everything. Lord, we come as we are. You see the failures, you see the deceit, you see the ungodliness, you see the defilements, you see the past, the darkness of the past, you see the Rahab experience, you see the harlotry, my God, you see the testimony, but Lord, you see the future also, oh God, and you say you know the thoughts that you think towards us, that they are good thoughts, to give us an expected end. Lord, we receive grace to come into this new priesthood of Christ. To come into the place where we are one with Him. For it's going to be male and female. We join unto Christ. We receive over us, the governance over us, that of Christ, O God. Let this word be anointed. Let this word be quickened. Let it be that which will bring blessing. Let the entrance of it judge the darkness. And let it bring an arising. Blessed be your name, O God. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.